Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of RVA Tech Talks, the podcast where I sit down with Richmond's technology gurus and interview them about whatever they're interested in, what they're up to, what they're good at, and how they do what they do. Thanks so much to this week's sponsor, Summit Human Capital. Summit Human Capital is thrilled because they just celebrated their second year here in business in the Richmond area. And their founder and CEO is actually a born and bred Richmond native. And Summit Human Capital, as a result, is all in when it comes to supporting the tremendous growth in the tech sector here in Richmond. And they accomplish all this by providing world-class, premier IT human capital solutions. And they focus these solutions not only on bringing top talent into the Richmond area, they help to retain the top talent here in the Richmond community. So this week, I had a special guest. His name is Scott Mayo. Scott is the founder and CEO of LeapIt, which is a very interesting company. LeapIt is actually solving the problem of how do we get good engineers in the right spots at the right time. And it's not a staffing firm. It's not an augmentation firm. It's a really cool company that's almost like builds a bridge between all those awesome people in Richmond who are super talented, super hungry, able to do the job, but just don't have the skill set or the background or the resume, and the incredible need that we have right now in the IT world, especially in the corporate realm, for competent cloud engineers or digital native engineers, however you want to word it, that can get the work done. And so Scott's helping solve for that problem. And I just think what he's doing in Richmond is amazing. It's having a huge impact on the community. And I sat down with him to talk about what LeapIt is all about and what he's all about and the problem of finding that talent in Richmond that we all know exists but somehow is not present when we're actually trying to fill a role. So anyways, without further ado, I bring you Scott and enjoy the show. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely happy to be here.
I'm really excited for this conversation because I feel like the problem that you are solving is not only super interesting and nuanced, but I feel like it's so painful to watch and painful to experience as a developer and someone who's on a tech team. I guess before we dive into what LeapIt is up to and what this problem is, why don't you explain a little bit about how you got to be the Scott Mayo that people know today?
Well, that's a sordid story, but I'll try to glaze over it as much as I can without consuming too much time. Been in the business, in the IT business to a certain degree, started as a developer through project management and then got into the world of consulting about 25, 30 years ago. Worked for small companies, startups, had some successful exits through those startups. Also worked for a large billion-dollar outsourcing firm and development firm in Keene, which is really where I probably learned the vast majority of my management experience. And then at its exit and when we left Keene, was probably responsible for 20 to 30% of the business, including a large offshore operation.
How do you spell Keene?
K-E-A-N-E. We were based out of Boston.
Got it. And that's essentially a staffing company?
It was a large outsourcing firm. It was mostly about 50% of our business was large-scale application outsourcing. We were on the app side.
Gotcha.
So we had clients like Toyota, State Farm, Altria, even Capital One here locally, large-scale clients.
Gotcha. And to take a step back, where'd you grow up?
I grew up overseas, Central America, South America, no Puerto kidding. Rico, Jamaica. Yeah.
Military brat or?
No. My dad, went to Thunderbird in Arizona and he just wanted to live a life of, around the world in 60 days, as they say. Yeah. So he and my mom, we pretty much uprooted every 3 or 4 years and started in Puerto Rico and lived in some wonderful places like Brazil, Peru, Jamaica. Trinidad. So there's a lot of stories, a lot of interesting cultures, a lot of languages. So that has helped me be really diverse as well in terms of my background. It's given me some advantages.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did he do? What was his?
Long story short, he was in the cow feed, pig feed, and chicken feed business. So he worked for a company called Central Soya. And basically, his job was to come into certain countries and help the premier farmers. And a lot of the countries that we lived in were way behind the times, 50, 100 years behind where the United States was in terms of, agri. And basically what he did was he kind of helped them build better feed and then take care of the animals in a little bit better way to kind of get a better yield out of the farmers' investments.
That is super interesting. And man, I know this may not be relevant to the people listening to this podcast, but I am so curious about what that was like as a young person living abroad like that.
So I'll say this.
Especially not on a military base. I feel like I hear a lot of people that lived on military bases, but that's somehow different to me than living in a community.
It is. But I'll tell you, and this kind of comes full circle in life, right? So, my parents were American, but even to this day, I don't feel like I'm an American. I don't. I have more. So when I do travel and go overseas, I feel more at home than I even do feel here, even though I've been here for more than 20 years.
Wow.
So it's just a weird feeling. But what's also interesting is growing up, there was only one consistent thing, because both of my parents were American. Everywhere that we went, there was always an embassy. And always very close by to the embassy, there was a Marine house. And every country that we lived in, the Marine houses would always host Americans at the Marine house on weekends or on Sunday afternoons to watch movies or have a cookout or July 4th or whatever it was.
That's cool.
And it was a very I was always blown away. I was always blown away by the men and women that were serving our country, living overseas, protecting the embassy and doing those things. And I always had a yearning to get to know them better. And I just thought they were the coolest people in the whole freaking world.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was always kind of like an escape within the country that we were living in, because everywhere that I lived in, I was the foreigner. I was the outsider. I was the one that didn't speak their language. I was the one that was so I was always kind of singled out. But whenever I went to the U.S. embassies, I always felt a little bit more at home. So it's one of the reasons why I've always had this inkling on doing something for veterans too.
Yeah, and just an empathy for being an outsider. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So you get to the point where you have a successful career working with Keene. Mm-hmm. At what point did you start thinking about this specific problem that you're solving now with Leap It? And maybe you can just tell the whole story and maybe end with explaining what Leap It is.
Yeah. So this started kind of germinating in my mind about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And that's really through the experience of, the one thing that I'm very, very proud of in terms of the career that I've had, which is I've always maintained really good relationships with my customers, regardless of which company that I've worked for. And I've always put their needs in front of anyone else's needs, that and employees that had ever worked for me. And I've always maintained a relationship, even if there's no business to be had with them at that any particular time. I've always tried to reach out and say, hey, can I help you with something? How's life? And stayed in touch. Mm-hmm. And even through staying in touch with so many people that I've worked with, and it's been a complete honor with almost all of them, not all, but almost all of them. I can honestly say one of the things that started germinating and the pieces of the puzzle started coming together in my mind was, A, there is a tremendous workforce shortage, specific in the world of IT, that has not been addressed. Every Fortune 500 company has their channels, right? They hire college grads. They convert contractors to employees. They bring in consulting firms to handle surges. They poach full-time employees from other companies. They have active recruiting engines. And even though companies are pouring oogles of money into those, what I would call channels for recruiting, they're still falling short. Like even the best companies, they're still falling short. Mm-hmm. And then you add into that mix, every company is going through some form of cloud journey. It's an accelerant to the gap. So the gap is widening. Most colleges are not producing enough engineers or talented engineers. And the companies keep on repeating the same process, and they're not really addressing the workforce shortages. So I really thought at that time there is a channel that needs to be looked at, and that is a channel that really affords the Fortune 500 companies to custom build a workforce of their future. So I started floating the idea with some relationships that I've had in the last 18 to 24 months and got a lot of great advice, pulled together some advisors who are on my board of advisors right now that helped me kind of galvanize some of the thinking, and then started, you know, actively, you know, looking for opportunities in the middle of last year. And then found one client local to Central Virginia who really kind of believed in it. And then once it started going, it almost like grabbed its own life of its own. So little things like I started hearing from people that had worked for me in the past that didn't come from traditional IT backgrounds, and started doing some work and started got to meet some people from Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And I love their kind of how they worked with people. And I also believe that people at the nascent part of their careers need mentors. So I'm a huge believer in mentors. My two or three mentors growing up, I'm still in touch with, and they really put the blocking and tackling and the cornerstones of my kind of mantra and how I like to work. Mm-hmm. And I feel that is so important to people at the early stages of their career. So I developed a mentorship program, developed a training program along with the client that we are engaged with currently, and then also started working with some behavioral people, some people with some HR backgrounds, used a very well-known, very well-established behavioral process that is, you know, a market standard, and then developed our own kind of behavioral profile of what we're looking for, the types of behaviors and the types of activities, the types of hobbies that really will lean into what would make someone successful in the world of IT. And then we combine that with training, curriculum, and then a heavy influence from both AWS, Microsoft Azure, as really the two cornerstones of the cloud platform that we're looking to kind of leap from.
Right.
And then started recruiting, engaged a few recruiting resources that I've known for years and years and years, and started creating what I would call a talent pool that we started whittling down into what I would call the top 10.
It kind of sounds like what you're doing is, like, let's say the ideal candidate is an NFL player, right? Mm-hmm. And NFL teams are doing things like poaching talented players from, you know, baseball. That doesn't happen, but let's just say that's there's parity. And then they're also maybe stealing from other NFL teams, or they're taking people who already know how to play football and could easily transfer into day one. And that's kind of what the corporations are doing. What it sounds like you're doing is almost building – you have like a training camp, but you're also picking the right people to train.
You have to pick the right people to train.
And then you have like a training camp, and then you're somehow – it's like there's a special magic training camp that turns people from – potential into ready to hire.
Yeah.
So, is that right?
So a couple things. And it's we have a 4-step process, right? The first step of the process is really getting to understand where the client is on their cloud journey. Every client is at a completely different place. Every client has a different technology stack. Every client has a different set of needs and demands that are going to be on their, what I would call, in their landscape in 6 to 12 months.
Right.
So that's item number one. Item number two is we got to find the right people that are going to fit into that. Item number three, we got to train them, right? Got to train them in terms of the book learning, the technical learning, to make sure that they have some of the fundamentals.
Right.
And the fourth piece is probably the most important and differentiated piece. They have to be managed, coached, and mentored for a minimum of 1,000 hours before they're going to learn anything. And that's truly within the client environment with a team lead from Leapit that has deep experience and knowledge in the realm that they're working in, and then working hand in glove with the teams that are there, because what we don't want to do is disrupt existing, you know, run the engine, right? We do not want to disrupt. We want to be complementary to the teams that are already in place.
And we want teams. Or no, the
client team.
The client team.
Right.
Okay.
So once we place them at a client site, we keep them there for 6 months to a year before they convert to full-time employees.
Okay.
So it's almost like it's an intensive, intentional immersion learning program top of everything else that we're doing. But you can put somebody on site if they don't have the right behaviors, they don't have the right background, they don't have the right kind of what I would call intensity and keen interest in learning, their success is going to be limited. So that's why we do so much work up front in terms of finding the right types of people that are really going to be that we think their behaviors, their background, their tenacity for learning, and all those other behaviors, regardless of what technical schools they've been to or what Java classes they've taken or whatever else, that really, to me, does not translate to long-term IT success. What translates to long-term IT success is that constant, you know, Moore's Law, 18 to 24 months, they've got to reinvent themselves, even in the world of cloud. Every quarter, there is a new tool that's coming out that does something sexy and hot,
right?
And if you don't learn it, right, the industry is going to leave you in the dust. So the people that are going to be really successful in the world of IT, if they want to build a 20 or 30 year IT career, they constantly have to be reinventing themselves, and they do that through knowledge acquisition. So there's got to be a very, very intensive behavior burning in the belly to a certain degree of really wanting to learn.
Okay, so I'm just going to pause real quick, and if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, that's me, I've got that tenacity, I've got that, you know, ability to learn, and I just – instead of listening to the end of this podcast, I want to know right now how to get in touch with you. Mm-hmm. What would they, how would they go about like finding the Leapit sort of funnel? Like how do they get themselves in?
So we have a website, www.leapitnow.com.
Leapitnow.com.
There's an info button. Just submit your information through that info button. Okay. And there's an email that goes right to our recruiters.
Cool. Okay. So this is really interesting. So when you bring these people in and you train them up and you kind of follow those four steps in building the right team, they land there on day one and they start going through the – so they're, is the idea that they're able to contribute on day one, or are they almost like interns or like
So every client's different, and some clients want them to be productive day one. And so those clients that want them to be productive day one, the training class and even the criteria that I may be looking for may be slightly different, right? So some people may be coming through the program with little experience. Some people may be coming through the program with a year or two of development experience because the client may want them to be day one engineers, right?
Right.
So it all depends upon, you know, what the needs of the client is going to be in about 6 months at a minimum. And my mantra to the client is, if you're looking for someone to be like throw them into the fire and them being part of a, you know, a scrum team or some form of agile team and like knocking the ball out of the park within their first 30 days, then everyone is setting themselves up for failure. Mm-hmm. And I would tap the brakes on that discussion, because that's not what this program's about. I think it takes about 90 days for anyone in a new environment to become productive. We do believe that our teams can be productive within the first 90 days. Some people are going to be faster at it. Some people are going to be a little bit slower at it. Everyone's bringing something a little bit different to the table.
Right.
But the key is we have an on-site team lead with every one of our engagements that is working and monitoring with every single one of our staff and being that liaison between our team and the client's teams, and that team lead has the requisite engineering background to know exactly what that person's strengths and weaknesses are, and we'll work with them very, very closely and the client very, very closely to make sure that our teams aren't being a distraction and our teams aren't slowing something down.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's almost like that energy boost or the capability boost that if someone has to step in and try to help out, we can. Right.
Yeah.
So the key is to get them productive within 6 months, and then after 6 months, start working on their conversion to full time employees at the client.
It sounds like there's almost two problems you're solving. One problem is the finding of the right person, and then the second problem is making sure that person is successful. So if you hire an engineer as a company and you bring them in on day one, they fit the criteria, and they have the skills. I love what you're describing, because there's a huge gap for that person in terms of making sure they're successful, because they'll have a boss and they'll have a boss's boss and they'll have some peers, but there's no external third party who's like able to mentor them in the way you're describing. So that's just a super cool. How did you come up with that? Like how did you sort of determine that was such a key part? Because it doesn't come front of mind when I'm thinking about recruiting. But I also, when you're describing it, I'm like, yes, that is so what people need. They need a mentor.
Yeah. So a couple things. I'll answer your first question first, which is the problem that I'm trying to solve. There are three. It's a three-legged stool. First, I'm trying to create an accretive channel for Fortune 500 companies. I'm not trying to
accretive.
So I'm trying to create an additional channel.
Got it. Okay.
So most Fortune 500 companies have those channels that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, which is they actively recruit college kids. They actively recruit, you know,
right.
from other companies. What they don't have is most companies don't have what I would call a custom build. In other words, they don't have a team of people that are coming in that they know with certain skills and background and capabilities that are going to be really productive in 6 months and able to convert all those people to full-time employees with having the ability to watch them and be part of their growth over the next 6 to 12 months and then work closely with a company like LeapIt that actually actively integrates them into their environment to become productive. So it's almost like a custom-built channel. It's not going to solve all the problems, but it's going to solve some of the problems.
Yeah.
And it's a channel that most companies don't have today. So that's one. Two, I feel that there is a huge population of what I would call dissatisfied, underemployed, digital native minorities and vets that are in this country right now that are just a huge untapped talent pool that are often overlooked because their resumes don't jump off the page. Most corporate recruiters don't have the time to get on the phone with these folks to get to the behavior things that we intentionally do.
Yep.
And then the third thing is having an impact on that second pillar actively contributes to our community here in Richmond. I'm very proud to say that the folks that we have on our team at Client Sites today, I'm confident would not have been able to get the opportunity that they're diving into and absorbing and doing everything they can with, you know, their heart and soul. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say the amount of sacrifices that the vast majority of the teams that we have out in the field today, whether they're sacrifices for our country or they're sacrifices that they're making to go to the classes at night, to go through the LeapIt program, to get certified on the LeapIt stack, it's profound. And it almost makes me cry seeing how hard they're working, to see the sacrifices that they're making, the nights and weekends that they're spending learning, because they are so excited about the opportunity to build an IT career that a lot of people in their past in the last 7 or 8 years probably told them would not happen.
Totally. I love being around those people.
Yeah.
It must be fun being around those people all the time. Like they just want it.
Yeah, and so it kind of goes back to, you know, the mentor thing that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So when I go back and look at my career, you know, and I'm probably in the last chapter or the last, you know, third of my career, and I look back in the last 20 years, can I remember the details of a large outsourcing deal? No. Can I remember the details of a large ERP that we implemented or rolled out? I know some of the players and everything else. Do I remember my customers? Yes, I do remember a lot of the customers and good programs and programs that didn't go so well either. I stay in touch with all of them. But the people that I'm really close to, believe it or not, are the dozens of people that through different relationships and everything else, I'd get a phone call saying, hey, Scott, you got to meet this gal. She's really, really smart. She's got all the right, you know, tools and technology, but she, you know, she has a chemistry degree. Right. Or she doesn't have any IT background. And I would sit down with that resource and meet with them and give them a shot, you know, add them to a team or, you know, deploy them and hired one guy with a biology degree that had never done any kind of technology work except for at home and nights and weekends and gave him a shot. Well, all those people I'm still in touch with. And I remember everything about their careers. And the reason why is it's I feel like I've been partially responsible for their pivot. Mm-hmm. And they're all really happy and they've built lives. Some of these people are, you know, they've got kids and they've married and they've kind of built their life around their career. And that's probably my most proud accomplishment. So
totally.
I've reached out to a lot of them and said, hey, how would you like to mentor some of these younger people that were putting through it? And that was born in my head based upon looking back when I was still trying to find my way in this country and had started my IT career. And I was really lost culturally and from an awareness perspective. And I mean, I felt like yet another outsider. If it weren't for my first, you know, 3 or 4 mentors, one of which Gil Morgan just passed away, I don't know where I would be right now because it's not just the work stuff that throws you off, but it's often the life stuff that happens outside of work that throws you off. And, your boss is not, you know, more often than not, your boss is really just focused on the work.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people in this world don't have enough mentors, let alone people that are working for my organization. I wanted to make sure that they have someone to reach out to for any reason at all. And that's one of the things that we've built is the relationship between the mentors that we've selected and the people that are working for LeapIt. Their relationship is confidential. I don't get any inputs or, you know, and what I do is I sponsor their time together to make sure that they're getting together all the time,
right?
Just to make sure that they can talk about anything that the two of them want to talk about.
Yeah, actually, I was sitting in a I was sitting in a coffee shop the other day at Urban Farmhouse, and I could hear you talking to one of someone in one of the classes that you're working with, and you were doing just that. I could hear you kind of trying to help him solve a problem around like how to. I think he was having trouble getting on someone's calendar or figuring out when to meet with them. And you were like trying to figure out, okay, how to put the pieces together.
Right.
So I can attest to that. I've literally seen you do that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. if you have any feedback or input, let me know. Cause I always try to make sure that I'm improving all the time, but
I
do believe, that social networks work and, you know, everyone needs, and especially with the mentors that, that we've chosen, they have all done exceptionally well, and I wanted to make sure I said a thank you to all of them. Mm, we have 10 mentors in our program right now, and they're all sacrificing their personal time to spend time with the LeapIt team because they believe in this vision and this mission.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that you chose them as opposed to like a CIO or something. A CIO who has spent their entire year in a career in technology would have a super valuable perspective in this area. I also think an underrepresented perspective is someone who came up from the bottom and got a first chance.
So I can tell you that almost I think every single person except for one person that's a mentor, they all came from alternative channels into the world of IT. Every single one of them. Every single one of them do not have what I would call your typical 4-year or master's degree in technology.
Yeah.
They all built their own IT careers.
That is so cool. I'd like to pause for a moment to give a quick shout out to this week's sponsor, Summit Human Capital. Over the past 2 years, having earned the confidence of their clientele and the love of their clientele, covering the industries of government services, healthcare, IT, supply chain, logistics, and so on, the folks at Summit Human Capital have achieved a 2,000% growth rate. And they've established a huge family consisting of over 30 associates over 10 states. Their mission is pretty simple. They want to build deep, profound, and genuine relationships, and in turn, positively change lives. If you're a candidate that's ready to make another career move, or if you're an employer with a talent gap on your specific team or in the overall IT department, please reach out to summithumancapital.com and allow these folks to prove why their retention rate is far higher than the industry standard. Summit Human Capital, positively changing lives by connecting talent to opportunity. I think people forget sometimes that they need help. They need someone to talk to. And especially when you're kind of navigating getting into the IT world. I know I just leaned so heavily as I was getting into IT because I have an English degree. Mm-hmm. And kind of how I stumbled into IT from kind of working in the law field after graduating college, I met with so many people. I got coffee with so many people that kind of gave me data points to triangulate on and gave me connections to other people. And Richmond's awesome because there's so many people out there who are willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Most people who are doing things in Richmond will respond to a LinkedIn message asking for coffee and asking for you to meet with them and ask about their career. And I love what you're doing specifically because it formalizes that a little bit and makes it a relationship and makes it sort of it gives the whole thing context and foundation as opposed to just like a random LinkedIn message.
And you know, my goal is to make sure that the relationships that have been built through that mentorship should extend beyond LeapIt. So if someone decides to leave LeapIt, or when they do convert to the client site, and if they want to leave there in a few years or whatever, once they get their career launched, the goal is to make sure that they're establishing a network of people, especially in the early parts. And by the way, you know, what's interesting is some of the team have asked, why do I need a mentor? And what's interesting is some have said, yes, I'm all in, and they're actively taking advantage of it, and others have not done much. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is over this, you know, 6 months to a year, what's happened is the amount of activity is dramatically increased. And I think what's happened is as things happen we don't anticipate, that's when you go, well, maybe I'll give this mentor a shot. So you don't know what you don't know. And it's not until actually something actually happens that you may want to reach out to your mentor and know that you're going to be able to have a confidential conversation with somebody that's maybe 10 years ahead of you in terms of where their career is. And doesn't have to be a CIO, doesn't have to be an executive. It could be, you know, a director level or someone, but, you know, just know with confidence that the person that you're reaching out to has built their building blocks and built their own IT career, right? And has done it in a non-traditional way.
Totally.
And there's something to be learned from that.
Yeah.
And they'll have some fresh perspective that's between the two of you.
Given all the money that corporations have, why can't they do their own mini leap? Like, why do they have such a hard time figuring this problem out?
Yeah. So, I'm going to speak in very general terms.
Yeah.
There are some companies that have cracked the code, right?
Okay.
They've developed their own internal training programs. I think some companies have tried to do things through hackathons and through to spot talent. I kind of go back to those, you know, four pillars. Some people have figured out.
Sorry, can you repeat them for me?
Yeah, the four pillars is getting an understanding of your environment and what your long-term landscape needs are going to be from a workforce development, right? The second is finding the right people, right? The third is training them. And then the fourth is immersing them.
Got it. Okay.
So some companies are really, really good at immersing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You, especially those companies that hire tons of college kids, they've got these great immersion programs, right? They've got great onboarding, you know, they've got, crawl, walk, run kind of programs where people can start growing and learning if they've got a very young and diverse workforce. Some companies are really, really good at the training piece. Some companies are really good, but there's very few that have what I would call all four pillars where they're actually doing a really good job of planning their workforce, where they're going to be in the next 6 months into a year.
Right.
And then combining that and integrating that deeply with a good recruiting program, mentoring program, and then an immersion program. There's very, very few that, I mean, I can probably count them on one hand.
Yeah.
The one thing that I...
What's hard about it though? What's the thing that makes it so they... Because they solve a bunch of other companies.
Yeah, so they do. But I think the biggest reason why is I believe that most companies and most IT shops in general, and I would call this across the board with the Russell 3000, the average CIO is under so much pressure to get products to market, right, and to increase the throughput of what they're delivering to their business. So, you know, we all know that, you know, the digital revolution is well underway, and the IT, you know, legacy back office, and that's where all the stuff gets processed,
right,
is now if you don't have a great hot product that's iPhone ready, right? iOS ready, and taking products to market in a digital way, there's so much pressure on IT not just being the processor, but IT really being the face and where products are actually being consumed.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure on technology executives and business executives for that matter, that a lot of what's taking place today, in one man's opinion, is what I would call whack-a-mole and, you know, trying to deal with surges, trying to deal with turnover.
Totally.
And just trying – they're just trying to tread water. I have yet to meet an IT or CIO executive, and this goes up and down the East Coast, that says, oh, I am set. I've got the right team. I got the right place. I don't have any openings, right? I'm good. I don't really need anybody. And that's number one. And number two, I've only met a few that really have a really good grasp of what their true, you know, full-time resource needs are going to be in 6 to 9 months.
Interesting. So it's just because there's so much business pressure.
There's business pressure, there's productivity pressure, there's production pressure.
Right.
Just the cloud journey in and of itself is adding serious complexity. a level of complexity that I don't think most organizations have been ready for because, you know, when you're getting out of the data center business, it's not just a technical issue, right? You've got an entire – you've got a CFO organization that has got money vested and capitalization and all kinds of nuance to a cloud journey that – it's complex. It's really, really complex. It's not something you snap your fingers to. I mean, it's a 3 to 5 year journey. And anyone that's telling you anything else, depending upon your size, is not being real with you.
And it's almost like this problem that you're describing is almost a form of tech debt, like not,
absolutely
not investing in the people. And no one really thinks about that.
So when most people talk about tech debt, they typically are talking about – you're absolutely right, Ford. They're talking about the, you know, the P&L tech debt and the physical tech debt and then even the software and other, you know, long-term contract tech debt. What they're not talking about is your workforce, the amount of effort that it's going to take. If you want to re-engineer your workforce and move resources out of your data center and into AWS security, for example, the amount of work and the amount of investment that you're going to have to make, and that's not just, you know, additional resources, but you're going to have to build an entire OCM-oriented culture and ready for change and accelerate change, which is hard, right?
Knowledge it's really, sharing, really
knowledge
DevOps
sharing.
Culture, yeah, all that
it,
stuff.
It is a really hard journey, and some people really haven't figured out whether or not they want to build, right? Which is that technical debt. That's a huge investment that you're going to have to make in a lot of people,
right?
Or whether you buy. Where you're just buying talent and throwing them into the new world, right?
Right.
Or you're trying to create some kind of brackish water in between the two, right? So
or
not
hire
a lot,
is the third option, right?
Like, right. And that's what I mean by buy. You're buying talent. You're going out and buying talent on the market, and you're putting that talent into what I would call your new world. So every company is trying to figure out their way. But the bottom line is, regardless of any company that's trying to figure out their way, they all have huge resource gaps.
Yeah.
Right? And those resource gaps are not being fulfilled by what I would call your traditional channels of recruiting.
Well, I just love what you're doing because I think Richmond, there's so much potential that we have in Richmond. It's such a cool city. There's so many great companies here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much energy. And I love the idea of people having an avenue for capitalizing on that and converting that into an opportunity with the company because, yeah, I agree. This is just a crazy world we live in where somebody can be very talented and have all the right skills or have all the right attributes of a successful person, but those attributes, they don't show up for every reason on a resume. And that person, like I've had four people in the past 6 months reach out to me. And I'll say, I'm going to give you their names after this.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I have four people and all of them reached out and they're like, hey, I'm not sure kind of how to get into this field, but you know, I would love to meet for you for coffee or whatever and talk about it.
Yep.
And I just am excited about hearing like people like you who are actually taking that need and turning it into a business model almost that is sustainable, can grow, can become like
it is absolutely it's a need on multiple dimensions. Back to the three pillars, right? So there's absolutely a market. Most IT executives that I talk to, their eyes are wide open. Like, how do we get started? I mean, I've only had one or two that said, hey, we're building our own program. Got it. Not a problem. But everyone else has this ravenous appetite for talent. And to your point, there is a lot of talent in Richmond. Richmond is a well-educated city. Cultured. And I think there's a steep of tradition. There's a lot of, tradition. I do really like Richmond a lot. Just in general, you're going to find some awesome, great people. And what has bothered me, and this has been bothering me for more than 10 years, I've heard a lot of executives and pretty senior say, you know, yeah, we've got this ravenous appetite, but there's not enough talent being churned out from an IT perspective here in Richmond. There's not
– so many people are staying where they are.
I'm kind of referring to the educational system. So they look at other cities like a Washington, D.C. or an Atlanta or other cities that have what I would call good technical hubs like larger resource pools or a Boston or even a San Francisco where they have, you know – you know, larger technical hubs, larger technical communities, you know, an ecosystem of schools that are feeding that technical community. And yeah, you know what? If you just want to look at a blueprint, that's great. You know, Richmond may not have that today, but it doesn't mean it can't be built, especially if you've got an appetite and you need it. Why not give the city or someone in Richmond a shot that can actually build that accretive channel for you?
Right.
It's not going to solve all the problems, but it's certainly a way to address it. And it's back to the three pillars. It's addressing the client's need. It's addressing the needs of people that are, you know, looking for that opportunity, that are being looked over because they may not have the hottest resume with 2 years of development experience. And then, you know, it's addressing the need of the community. And it's actually, I think it's going to, you know, it's going to invigorate and vitalize. You know, there's a lot of people that are sacrificing a lot of time and a lot of money at the night schools and Java boot camps and other things that are going on, and it's not getting traction. And the reason why it's not getting traction is you can sit somebody down, show them a book, and show them how to code.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen all day long. Anyone can do that online. Anyone can get that certificate. But taking that resource and putting them on an agile team and having that person learn how an agile team works,
mm-hmm.
and getting something to prod, you're not going to learn that in a classroom.
No, you're sure not.
Right? And you're not going to learn how to work with other people in a classroom. And so that's some of the stuff that we're trying to make sure that is being integrated into the overall program, is making sure that you're getting, you know, tried and tested resources that have that fundamental learning in their background, have that oversight, have a mentor to reach out to,
mm-hmm.
have all those, you know, check marks that's going to make someone productive in that 6 months to a year time frame.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because even if we did live in like a Boston or like a San Francisco, and we had graduates from the top universities in the world coming out, they still don't know how to get work done in a corporate environment. I mean, they may be freaks, and they may be able to learn things super quickly, and that may help them and give them an advantage, like a third leg to run on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's gonna that
I tell you
everyone
what,
else.
I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. I will take a 25 to 26 year old vet that has served our country, that has all the right behaviors, and give me 6 months with him or her, and compare that 6 months with him or her versus a college degree, 4 year college degree, or someone with a master's degree with that same 6 months of experience, I will bet you my bottom dollar, my resource will outperform them in the long run.
Because
they're going to be hungry. They're going to be a little bit older. They're going to be more, they're going to be happier with the opportunity that's in front of them.
Yep.
And quite frankly, I have found a lot of vets, they know how to follow process. They understand the value of process, and they have good linear thinking.
Yeah, that's huge. There's a lot of as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of engineering teams that have a lot of high in the clouds thinking.
Don't get me wrong, it's necessary.
Oh no, 100%.
It's absolutely necessary.
100%.
But on a grand scale, there's all kinds of roles that need to be fulfilled within a large IT shop,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here to tell you I'm very proud of the team that we have on the ground at our client sites today. And I can tell you with a high degree of confidence, our clients are just over the moon happy.
Awesome. Well, Scott, thanks so much for taking the time. And if people want to come find you, leapitnow.com. Okay.
Sir.
And then the info page is where they can
On the main page, there's an info button. You just hit it, and it pops up the info at leapitnow.com.
Awesome. Okay. And then are you on social media at all? Or
LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm on LinkedIn, and Leapit has its own page on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. I'm excited to kind of see where this thing goes in the next couple of years.
Thank you, Ford. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys, tune in 2 weeks for the next episode of RVA Tech Talks. And as always, we're tremendously appreciative of this week's sponsor, Summit Human Capital. And please reach out to them at summithumancapital.com. Also, quick shout out to Canvas, where we recorded this episode. And you can find them at meetatcanvas.com. And a shout out to Claire Morgan at Notterly.com, who edited this episode.